not looking for a relationship, that's perfectly normal. To them, they need to find the right woman first. If and when they do, they realize they want to keep their dick in their pants, and they don't want any other guy going near their woman. And it's that moment that makes them realize they don't have any other option but to do the relationship thing. That makes sense? Oddly, it did. The guy flat out told me he was your boyfriend. He told me he was going to be around for a long time. He staked a claim even to me, your brother. So don't worry about all that bullshit he said about marriage. He's hooked on you, and after enough time passes, he'll realize he doesn't want to be with another woman. And that's when you have a stupid and ridiculous wedding. He did say things were different with me, that he was my boyfriend and we were exclusive. We had strong chemistry and spent nearly all of our free time together. Christian was probably right. I didn't need to worry about anything. But even if he were wrong, it wouldn't change my mind. I wanted to be with Calloway, even if it didn't last forever.
And you haven't slept together, right?
That's a personal question. You want my help or not? Just answer. No.
No, you won't answer?
No, we haven't slept together. Christian teased me about needing him, but he needed me too. He just wasn't so obvious about it. He asked me to go apartment hunting with him, and I even acted as his wingman a few times when he picked up girls. We spent every holiday together, even if it was just the two of us sitting in my tiny apartment with a bottle of wine and no dinner.
You've been seeing him for weeks.
I shrugged in response.
Then you're set, Rome. He's not going anywhere.
Why do you say that?
If a girl made me wait longer than 2 dates, I'd lose interest. Sex isn't everything, but if I was exclusive with her and buying all her dinners, I'd expect some action. So if he's this patient with you, then he's damn serious. A guy like him could get laid whenever he wanted. He's keeping it in his pants for you without even getting laid. Basically, this guy deserves a medal awarded by the President of the United States.
Chapter 15. Calloway. I walked into ruin after midnight and welcomed the loud music against my ears. The heavy metal was just noise to most people, but to me, it was just as comforting as classical music in an art gallery. I passed by the bar and said hello to a few regulars. Any time I was inside ruin, I was surrounded by friends, like-minded people who understood my fetishes and dark desires. There were no questions here, just solutions. Jackson was sitting at the bar talking to a woman dressed in leather. Skin-tight pants hugged her curvy hips, and her black jacket was snug around her waist. The zipper was down past her chest, and a noticeable line of cleavage was on display for anyone who glanced in that direction. This is what I'm thinking. You're the lion, and I'm the tamer. All we're missing is the whip. We had very different approaches to picking up women. I just made eye contact with them and explored their body with my gaze. I searched for the flush color of their cheeks and the way their mouth opened slightly in need of a kiss. Then I walked over and pressed my mouth to theirs. The rest was history.
I think you should reverse roles. That's just my opinion.
Jackson looked up at me, pure annoyance on his face.
Maybe you should get on your hands and knees. She'll whip you a few times.
Nah, I don't want to steal your girl.
I waggled my eyebrows at her and walked away. Jackson left the bar and caught up to me.
You're in a good mood. Vanilla finally put out?
I didn't answer the question because my cock between her lips was none of his business. He watched the hardened expression form on my face.
Guess not.
I wanted to change the subject, and change it quickly.
Don't let me keep you from your friend. I moved through the darkness of the club and headed toward my office.
Whoa, hold on. I need to tell you something.
Text me. As my little brother, he'd inherited a lifetime of bullshit from me, but he was used to it by now. This time, he grabbed me by the shoulder. "Dude, I'm trying to tell you that Isabella came in tonight. Not sure if she's still here." The mention of my ex piqued my interest. Good for her. I knew she would get back into the swing of things. She asked if you were here, so no, I don't think she's back in the swing of things. My God, would this woman just move on already? I didn't think you were coming in tonight, so I wanted to give you a heads up. Well, thanks. He patted my shoulder before he walked back to his date. Now I felt like I was on display. The prey evading the predator. She was probably searching for me right now, knowing I would make an appearance at Ruin during the twilight hours. I walked back to my office and felt eyes drill into my back. That eerie sensation of being watched burned me to the bone. I knew she was there, waiting for her chance. I got to my office because I'd rather have this argument in private. Everyone knew she and I were no longer an item, and I wanted to keep it that way. I walked inside and left the door unlocked so I wouldn't have to get up again. Just as I reached my desk, she made her move.
"There you are."
Isabella spoke with triumph, like she beat me at some kind of game. I looked down at my desk and didn't give her the respect of meeting her gaze. "And there you are." I grabbed the stack of folders Jackson left for me and rifled through them. "Just taking care of business. How can I help you?" Her heels echoed on the black hardwood floor as she approached me from behind.
"Just wanted to say hi."
I tossed the folders on the desk and finally turned around. I leaned against the wood and stared at her skin-tight outfit. She wore a black bra that pushed her tits together and a short skirt, looking like a woman in desperate need of a dom. Her hair was in luscious curls, exactly the way I liked. I knew exactly what she was doing, but my cock didn't even twitch. "Hi." I suspected Isabella would be a nuisance for a while. Instead of telling her off, I tried to be patient. She devoted a year of her life to me, allowing me to possess and control her. While I didn't feel the same way anymore, I still respected her for trusting me for so long. Our history held me back from insulting her like I would anyone else.
"How's your plaything?"
She wasn't my plaything, yet. "Good. Found the right dom?"
"You're the right dom, Cal."
Perhaps a year had been too long. I shouldn't have trusted her not to get this attached to me, not to fall in love with me. It was my fault for letting this happen. "Not for you." Her eyes narrowed in humiliation.
"What's so special about this woman? There's no way she's a better sub than I am. I've given you everything, Cal. I've given you a whole year of my life. When you get her out of your system, I'll still be here, waiting for you."
That was the worst thing she could have possibly said. "Isabella, I'm never coming back. Even if I stop seeing this woman, I'll never ask you to be my sub again. We're no different than animals. We stick with one partner for a while and then we move on. I'm sorry I hurt you. Truly, I am. But you need to let this go. Let me go." She opened the door wearing a skin-tight black dress with red pumps. Her hair was volumized and curled, framing her beautiful face and showing off her high cheekbones. Her green eyes dazzled against the dark makeup around her eyes. She was fuckable. "You look beautiful." I pressed her against the door just after she shut it, and I pressed both of my palms against the wood, keeping her back firmly placed against it. Like a caged animal, she was cornered, with nowhere to run. She took a deep breath, preparing for whatever would happen next. Now I didn't want to go out for drinks. I just wanted to stay here, climb on that small bed of hers, and fuck her all weekend. All the fooling around we did satisfied me temporarily, but it didn't satiate my hunger. Only when I came inside her, filled her pussy with my domination, would I finally feel full. I stared into her eyes so hard I didn't blink. My hands practically shook in aggravation. My true self, the controlling man deep inside, wanted to burst out of my skin and come into his full form. I would always be a creature of the night. I would always be a dom. It was nearly impossible for me to remain calm and focused. It was nearly impossible for me to grant her any rights. But I wanted her so bad. I battled that dark aspect of myself until he was tucked away, hidden deep inside a locked cage without a key. I pressed my mouth against hers and kissed her softly, the exact opposite of what I wanted to do to her. I wanted to press my chest hard against her tits and feel her nipples pebble. I wanted to fuck her right against the door and listen to her whisper my name. She melted under my touch, her bottom lip trembling slightly from the heat. Her tongue entered my mouth and reached mine, lightly playing with it. I wanted a soft embrace, but she immediately took it to the next level. Whenever she wanted something, she just took it. I loved that about her. Let's forget the drinks. I lowered my hands to either side of her waist and pressed my chest against hers. I had one more week of this torture before my cock could finally claim what was mine. A part of me was afraid of the moment when I would finally have her. I wouldn't be able to control my dominant side, to remain calm and gentle. I would grab her by the hair and tell her she was my possession forever, that she wouldn't even make eye contact with another man unless I gave her permission. And she wouldn't take that lying down.
We can't.
Her hand slid up my arms and rested on my biceps. That was her favorite place to touch me. Her fingers dug into the power of their size and didn't let go.
Christian is waiting for us.
He's a guy, he'll understand.
And he's my brother,
she reminded me.
I don't stand up family.
When it came to her, I honestly didn't care about anything else.
I'll make it up to you later.
She brought her soft lips to the corner of my mouth and pressed a gentle kiss there. She let her mouth linger, sending warmth all the way down my spine and to my groin.
You can stick your big cock down my throat, and I'll swallow every drop.
My hands dug into the wood and I almost knocked down the door. She gave me a playful smile, like she loved the little number she'd just pulled on me. But she didn't want to play this game, because she would lose. We met at a small bar a few blocks over and sat in a booth in the corner. Christian had a pretty girl with him, a blonde with straight hair and big boobs. She was eager for his affection, grabbing his arm and kissing him even though Rome was sitting right beside her brother. I pressed my mouth to her ear. Gross you out?
I'm used to it. He's been doing this since I can remember.
Good thing they weren't actually related.
Besides, he doesn't ask me to talk to his ladies, so I don't have to put in any effort.
How thoughtful. My hand reached for her thigh under the table and moved up until her dress was almost to her waist. My fingers slid across the curve of her inner thigh until I could feel the fabric of her panties. She didn't push my hand away.
Where did you two meet?
Bridget was her name. She was nice, but talked with a high-pitched voice that irritated my ear canal. She continued to hang all over Christian like they were newlyweds. I had a difficult time keeping my hands to myself around Rome, but I kept myself in check in front of her brother, out of respect. I liked that guy a great deal. He was real and true, naturally charismatic and laid back. He treated his sister like an adult, rather than playing the part of overprotective brother.
Well,
Rome glanced at me before she turned back to Bridget.
At a bar. I mistook him for someone else and slapped him a few times. Oh, Val.
Bridget placed her hand over her heart in shock.
That's interesting.
I like a woman who knows how to throw a punch. I grabbed my scotch and took a drink. She turned my cheek red, and I couldn't stop thinking about her. We ran into each other at a charity event, and the rest is history.
That's so romantic,
she said.
Christian and I met at a bar, too.
She didn't slap me, Christian said. But she invited me into the ladies' restroom, and we got rough.
She leaned into his side and chuckled. Rome took a long drink of her wine. I squeezed her thigh gently, reminding her we could have ditched this whole evening and dry-humped on her bed like teenagers. The idea used to repulse me, but now I was so hot for her I'd settle for any kind of friction. Bridget kissed his ear, moving her tongue over the shell, before she excused herself to the restroom. She blew him a kiss before she walked off, tall in her heels, with a body that made every guy turn to look at her. When she was out of earshot, Christian nodded.
That woman is smoking.
Blondes weren't my type, but I couldn't deny she was pretty. Rome, on the other hand, was a goddamn goddess. She made every woman in the bar look like a troll. She was a natural beauty, soft skin with perfect curves. She had small but full lips and long legs that fit perfectly around my waist. When she did her hair and makeup, she was a bombshell, making every woman in her vicinity feel uneasy about her own appearance. To top it off, she didn't even realize it. She's all right.
You're just saying that because of Rome.
No, he's not.
Rome swirled her glass, then took a drink.
His eyes don't stray.
Inexplicably, a white-hot feeling shot through me. Pride, warmth, and strong affection swept through me like a tide. Hearing her say I only had eyes for her turned me on like nothing else ever did. There was nothing that happened in my playroom that gave me the same kind of satisfaction. It was so hot, so scorching, that my ears turned red from the heat. I didn't want to wait another week to get inside her. I wanted to do that tonight. Christian didn't argue with her comment.
You like her?
Rome shrugged.
I don't know. I guess... You've never asked me that before.
I was just curious.
He ordered an old-fashioned and sipped it quietly, his jaw stern and his eyes dark.
Is she going to be around for a while?
Rome asked.
Probably, Christian said. At least a month.
That's a new record.
Rome didn't hide her sarcasm.
She's awesome in the sack.
Christian shook his head like he couldn't believe it.
It'll be a while before I can bang her out of my system.
Rome cringed, then grabbed my scotch and took a long drink.
I need something stronger for that.
I suddenly got the image of pouring scotch all over her body and kissing it away. Drops would move all the way down her stomach to her pussy, and my lips would chase every one, tasting a mixture of sweet and bitter.
So, you do hate her?
Christian asked.
Whoa.
Rome held her hand up.
Who said anything about hate? I just think she's a little slutty, but who am I to judge? That's what you like, right? And since when did you start caring what I think?
I've always cared, Ro.
He eyed the bathroom and saw her returning.
Here she comes.
She slid into the booth and practically sat on his lap.
Miss me?
Always.
He wrapped his arm around her shoulder and kissed her with more vigor than he should for a public place. Rome turned her body into mine, leaning in close and lowering her voice.
Do you need to throw up, too?
No, but we can go in the bathroom anyway. Her pretty smile stretched across her lips when she understood my meaning.
Bathrooms don't turn me on.
And what does turn you on?
Your bed. I like the way those sheets feel against my skin. So soft.
I wanted her on my bed right this second. We can make that happen. When I glanced at Christian, he was making out with Bridget. I don't think they would notice if we left.
Probably not,
she said with a chuckle. Or we can just make out. I didn't care if anyone watched us. As long as none of the guys beat off to her when they got home, I was cool with it. If anything, I wanted to do it, all night long. Even something as mediocre as kissing was extraordinary with this woman.
Gross! I'm not doing that in front of my brother.
Honestly, I don't think he would notice. Rome's eyes left my face and moved to the edge of the booth. I kept my eyes on her because it was impossible to look away. The light was hitting her perfectly, highlighting her beautiful features and making her eyes look like sparkling emeralds. I thought she was beautiful the first time I looked at her, But as time passed, she somehow became even more stunning.
Look who it is.
I'd recognize that voice from anywhere. It was cocky and full of arrogance, just like my own. I turned to see Jackson standing there, a woman, under his arm.
Just when my night was getting good.
Rome glanced back and forth between us, and she immediately connected the dots.
Is this your brother?
You didn't tell me Vanilla was smart. Jackson dropped his arm from his lady and extended his hand.
What?
Rome had a blank look on her face, having no idea what Vanilla meant. I glared at Jackson and told him to knock his shit off with just my eyes. I wasn't afraid to kick his ass right in the middle of this goddamn bar. Jackson ignored the question and shook her hand.
I'm Cal's brother, Jackson. Pleasure to meet you. You too.
She shook his hand, then let go. Jealousy like I'd never known swept through me when she touched my brother. The embrace was innocent, more than just innocent, but I wanted to kill Jackson anyway. I didn't want her touching anyone but me. The impulse was so strong I had to take a deep breath and wait for it to pass. If she were my sub, I would order her to never look at my brother or acknowledge him when he was in our presence. Like she'd ever cooperate.
And this is?
Jackson stared at his date as he tried to remember her name.
We just met. Sorry, beautiful. I can't remember your name.
She was too smitten with him to be offended.
Cassie.
I shook her hand. Cal, pleasure to meet you. This is my girlfriend, Rome. Jackson grinned like an idiot.
Girlfriend?
I glared at him again.
Yes, girlfriend.
If he made a scene right now, I'd kill him. Like, actually kill him. Rome picked up on the tension between my brother and me. It was obvious by the look in her eyes.
Would you like to join us?
Fuck no.
That sounds like a great idea.
Jackson pulled Cassie into his side again.
We're just going to get some drinks.
Goddamn nightmare. When they were gone, Rome looked at me with a wary expression on her face.
Is that okay?
It didn't matter if it wasn't. The damage had been done. We'll find out. Christian and Bridget left because they were ready to upgrade from making out to fucking. I wished Rome and I were doing the same. Jackson and Cassie took the seats across from us. Cassie had tattoos along her right arm and black gauges in her ears. A small tattoo was just behind her right ear, a simple image of a circle. Without asking her a single question, I knew she was one of us, a woman who wanted to be ruled. Jackson ordered a scotch just like I did, probably copying me to annoy me. Jackson had always lived in my shadow, since as far back as I could remember. He thought I was favored among my parents. If he knew the truth, he would understand he was the lucky one, but I would never tell him.
So,
Jackson leaned forward, fascinated by Rome. He stared at her a little too long and a little too hard. He was clearly attracted to her, understanding my infatuation with her once he laid his eyes on her beautiful face.
My brother is pretty hard up for you.
Rome immediately smiled, a blush coming across her cheeks.
That's flattering.
If only she knew what he really meant. Leave my girlfriend alone, Jackson.
I'm not bothering her.
Jackson swirled his ice cubes in his glass.
You talk about her so much, and now I'm finally meeting her in the flesh. I have to say, she's out of your league.
Rome blushed again.
I like that color on your face.
Jackson gave me a knowing look, understanding I would catch his meaning. Sweetheart, I apologize that my brother is such a wang.
I'm not a wang,
Jackson argued.
You're the douchebag trying to hide her.
I'm not hiding her. I was trying to protect her from my brother's nonsense.
Look, this is a big deal.
Jackson stopped looking at me, his gaze focused on Rome.
This is your first girlfriend, and now I understand why vanilla is your new favorite flavor.
He waggled his eyebrows at her.
Vanilla?
Rome asked.
That's the second time you've called me that.
I placed my arm around her shoulder. Ignore him.
Have you been to Ruin?
Cassie asked.
Is that where you met?
My eyes snapped wide open in terror. Jackson caught my expression and knew I wasn't ready to tell her the truth. He was an ass, but he wasn't that big of an ass.
No, baby, they met at a bar. Let me tell you the story.
He told her about how Rome slapped me right in front of everyone. She put her back into it because I was red for nearly a day afterward. Rome turned to me.
What's Ruin?
I didn't lie, but I didn't tell the whole truth either. It's a bar my brother works at. She accepted the story without question.
My brother likes being treated like a bitch, so, naturally, he fell for her.
Even though he saved my ass, he was still a dick about it. He gave me a smug look like he was enjoying every second of my unease. My brother had pissed me off enough for the night, and now it was time to go. Rome and I have plans. I scooted out of the booth and pulled her to her feet. We'll see you guys around. Jackson gave me a curt wave.
Rome, let me know when you're ready for a real man.
Rome wrapped her arm around my waist and cuddled into my side.
Calloway is the only one man enough for me.
That same wonderful sensation from earlier traveled down my spine and entered my groin. I was moved, she said that, and not because I asked her to. Now I wanted to get back to my place as quickly as possible and get her naked. I wanted to eat her pussy all night long, make her mine as thoroughly as possible.
You look so much alike.
Rome shook her head as she stood at the stove in my kitchen. She made herself a pot of tea, something she usually did after she had dinner. It was a ritual, and I wondered if she did the same thing before bed. Lucky for him. I didn't want to talk about my brother, but I couldn't ask her not to. Naturally, she would be curious. I couldn't snap that out of her.
You guys aren't close like Christian and I.
Sadness entered her voice. No, we're both too headstrong to tolerate one another. We both needed to be in charge at all times, and that need for leadership resulted in major power struggles. He always tried to undermine me, and sometimes I wanted him to just so I could punch him in the face.
Do you prefer to be called Cal or Calloway?
It doesn't matter.
It seems like most people refer to you as Cal.
They did, but I liked it when she used my full name. No one else ever did. I like it when you call me Calloway, or your boyfriend. Either one is fine. Or the man you want between your legs every night. Honestly, I'd prefer the last one. She came to the table and set her steaming mug of tea down. Then she straddled my hips and sat on my lap, her pussy directly on top of my cock. Within seconds, she felt it inflate like a balloon. Knowing just my jeans and her panties kept us apart was a turn-on. Her dress rose up to her hips when she sat down, exposing her gorgeous thighs for me to cherish.
Calloway,
she said the name slowly, treasuring the sound of each syllable.
What does vanilla mean?
I should have prepared for this question. Jackson was an idiot and said it twice, like she wouldn't notice. Nothing. She tilted her head to the side, then placed her hands at the top of my jeans. She unbuttoned the top but didn't touch the zipper.
Calloway, what does it mean?
She pressed her face close to mine but didn't kiss me, intimidating me with her sexuality. It was fucking hot. You're a good girl. She unzipped my jeans so my cock could finally come free.
You think I'm a good girl?
No, I knew she was. You wouldn't make me wait 4 weeks if you weren't. I was used to women who only wanted to fuck. When Rome initially told me she wanted to wait, I was annoyed. But now the wait was a turn-on, too. She wasn't the kind of woman who just slept with any man. She was picky about who she allowed deep inside her. I was one of the lucky few who were worthy of her. I was one of the few who were man enough for her.
Maybe I just wanted to torture you.
I swallowed the lump in my throat, picturing how slick her wet pussy would be. Mission accomplished. You've got me on my knees. She wrapped her arms around my neck and pressed her face close to mine. She brushed the tip of her nose against my cheek before she kissed the shell of my ear.
I thought about cutting the weight down, but since I'm so vanilla, I'm gonna make you wait until the very end.
My fingers dug into her thighs. Sweetheart, I clenched my jaw because I wanted to be inside her so bad. I was in the middle of the desert without a drop of water. It was the longest dry spell I'd ever survived. The second I sunk into her, I'd fuck her so hard she wouldn't be able to walk.
Beg me all you like, but I'm a good girl, and this is what good girls do.
We lay together in my bed after we fooled around. She gave me amazing head, too awesome for a good girl, and then she massaged my shoulders like I was her king. She was a selfless lover, always giving me what I needed and then something extra. I knew she would make the sex amazing. It was getting late and exhaustion was creeping into my limbs. Sometimes I considered falling asleep with her, but I knew what would happen. It was a road I couldn't take with her. Eventually I would have to tell her the truth. She needed to know at some point. But I didn't want the questions or the sympathy. I wasn't ready for the long conversation that would follow, the prying into my past that I wanted to forget. It was easy to procrastinate. She got up on her own and grabbed her dress off the floor.
I should get going.
She wanted to stay. The sigh of longing in her voice made it obvious she wanted to sleep in that bed beside me. Her arms linked around my neck as our breathing fell in sync. But I had to deny her. You're probably right. I got dressed and drove her to her apartment. I hated taking her home every night, because it meant I had to say goodbye until I saw her again. I hated the silence in the car, the heavy feeling of disappointment. We were both tired, and we should have both been in bed, not saying bye on a doorstep, like inexperienced teenagers. I walked her to her front door and gave her a kiss. Good night, sweetheart.
Good night. I'll see you later.
She got the door unlocked and walked inside. I didn't want to say goodbye. I wanted to keep her in my arms throughout the night. I wanted to eat her pussy for breakfast and watch her get ready for work in my bathroom. I wanted to make coffee for her in the kitchen before she left for work. But none of those things would ever happen.
Chapter 16. Rome. I was Calloway's first girlfriend, apparently. At least that's what Jackson said. And that's how Calloway introduced me to anyone we came across. Being his first meant something to me. It allowed me to put up with the fact that he wouldn't allow me to sleep over. It helped me forget that I wasn't completely satisfied with the parameters around our relationship. But I was still falling so goddamn hard. I didn't want to wait another week. I didn't think I could survive 7 days without feeling him inside me. At first, the request was just to protect myself. But now, I didn't want to be protected. I was ready. I'd waited too long to get my feet in the water. I'd waited too long to jump headfirst into the unknown. Now I needed to do it and enjoy it. I needed to do it with Calloway and hope for the best. And it probably would be the best. I had a meeting with a donor, so I got off work much later than I normally would. Calloway texted me and invited me to his place for dinner. He didn't usually take me out to dinner because he liked the privacy of his home. I preferred it, too. I could eat dinner while sitting on his lap, or he could eat while I sucked his cock under the table. And more importantly, we could eat buck naked. I was running late, so I had to speed walk to my apartment. When I finally got onto my floor, I was sweaty from busting my ass, and my feet were killing me from the stilettos I wore. Just when I reached the door, I noticed it was cracked. And the lock was busted. Someone broke in. Motherfucker. This happened to me last year, and they took all of my things. My computer and TV were gone, and they took my autographed Stephen Curry basketball. That last one pissed me off the most. The police never found the burglars, and I was angry for weeks. I stormed into the apartment and saw everything misplaced. The couch was moved and the bed was pushed up so they could access whatever was underneath. The TV wasn't on the table. It was on the ground with the cord wrapped around it. They were still in here. An arm wrapped around my throat and choked me, coming from behind the door. He pulled with all his strength, immediately collapsing my airway. "Scream, bitch, and see what happens." I slammed my heel onto his foot so hard my heel snapped. "Fuck!" His arm loosened when he cried out in pain. I threw my head back and hit him square in the nose. "Shit!" I grabbed his arm and pulled it across my shoulder before I hurled him to the ground, making his heavy body fall with a loud thud. I only had seconds before he regained his footing, so I turned him over and sat on his lower back, pulling his hands behind his back. "Scream, bitch!" I slammed his head into the floor just for kicks. He got one arm loose and threw my body to the ground. Quickly, he moved on top of me and slugged me hard in the eye. In quick succession, he hit me again, making my mouth ooze with blood. Now I was pissed. "You fucking asshole!" I threw my palm up and hit him in the nose, breaking it. I could hear it crack like a firecracker. I pushed him down to the floor, on his back like before. This time, I yanked my computer charger off the table and quickly wrapped it around his wrists, making a knot like I learned when I was 12. He moaned incoherently, his words coming out as ramble. I pulled out my phone and called 911 on speed dial. "Enjoy your time in the slammer, bitch face." The police conducted their investigation, but there wasn't much to look into. It was pretty clear what happened.
"Are you sure you don't want to go to the hospital?"
Officer Dean pressed. "Really, I'm fine." My eye was swollen shut and my lip kept bleeding. My only problem is being hideous for a few days. He didn't crack a smile.
"I still strongly suggest it."
"Trust me, I've had worse." This was nothing compared to what I was used to. I'd broken my ribs twice, and there was a metal plate in my skull. It was such a bitch going through airport security.
"That doesn't sound good."
He put his notepad in his holster.
"The locksmith won't be here until tomorrow. You have somewhere to stay tonight?"
"Yeah. I'd slept on Christian's couch before. It was pretty comfortable. Thank you, Officer Dean."
"Of course, Miss Moretti."
He nodded before he stepped away. When I looked at the front door, I saw Calloway walk inside. With his eyes as big as melons, he walked in and saw the messy scene before him. My stuff was in disarray, and the burglar was cuffed and ready to be escorted out by the police. Finally, his eyes moved to my face, and he saw the blood and bruises.
"What the fuck happened?"
He charged me like he was about to knock me down. He cupped my face and looked straight at my injuries, his jaw stern with ferocity.
"Rome."
His hands moved to my shoulders, and he squeezed me so hard it actually hurt. "I'm okay." I watched the police take the assailant away, his black mask now gone. They marched him out, and I was grateful he was gone. I wasn't afraid of him, but I was certainly afraid of what Calloway would do to him. This guy robbed my apartment, but he didn't take anything.
"Did he hit you?"
"When I saw him inside, we got into it. He hit me a few times before I broke his nose and pinned him to the floor. Then the police arrived and arrested him. So everything is fine. Honestly, it looks worse than it feels." He dragged his hands down his face, a vein throbbing in his forehead. He looked like he was about to scream at the top of his lungs. He took a deep breath to steady himself, but that didn't dim his anger.
"You knew he was inside, and you came in anyway?"
"I was robbed last year, and it really sucked. I wasn't going to let someone take my shit again. Last time they got my Michael Jordan, what the fuck is wrong with you? He got in my face again, screaming. You don't go inside. Rome, he could have killed you. I wasn't afraid of him. That's not the fucking point. He threw his arms down, furious. He could have had a gun or a knife. Well, I'm protecting my shit. Is your shit worth your life? His hands balled into his fists until his knuckles turned white. No, but I'm not letting anyone think they can scare me. If you cross me, I'm coming after you. That's the point. He dragged his hands down his face again. Nothing happened. I kicked his ass and the police took him away. But it could have turned out completely different, and you know it. Why didn't you just wait in the hall and call the cops? Because he could have run down the fire escape. Calloway walked away and started pacing the room, shaking the floorboard with his heavy footsteps. He was about to explode again, yelling in my face and calling me a goddamn lunatic. I admit my actions weren't the smartest, but I wasn't thinking in the moment. I just reacted. I'd learned to fight a long time ago, and I didn't see a problem using my skills when they mattered. I'm sorry I upset you, but the past is in the past. Move on. He turned back to me, his eyes burning holes in my skin. Pack your shit. You're staying with me. They'll fix the door tomorrow. It's not a big deal. You are staying with me. I wasn't a fan of the bossiness. Not like this. I'll just stay at Christian's. It's fine. I knew he didn't want me to sleep over, and I really didn't want to be invited just because I had nowhere else to stay. You don't understand what I'm saying. He jabbed his finger into his chest with every word. You aren't living here anymore, Rome. It's not safe, and I can't handle it anymore. You're staying with me until we find something better.
There is nothing better, Calloway. You think I haven't looked?
Trust me, there is.
But nothing I can afford. I didn't want to make this about money. It was an awkward subject, especially since he was wealthy. I didn't want him to feel bad for me since I didn't even have a savings account. Happiness was measured in different ways. Really, it's fine. I can stay with Christian and the door will be fixed tomorrow. I know you're upset, but you're overreacting.
Overreacting?
He got in my face with the look of a madman.
You just told me you've been robbed before.
But it's not that big of a deal.
What if someone tries to rape you next or kill you?
Again, he was overreacting.
My girlfriend isn't going to stay in a place like this. That's the end of this discussion.
Excuse me? I hissed. No, it's not the end of the discussion just because you say so.
You bet your ass it is.
He looked down into my face with the threat of a king.
You will do as I say. You will not question me. When I tell you to do something, all you're responsible for is doing it.
I'm not a dog, Calloway.
I never said you were, but you need to listen to me.
Fuck you. Hell no, I wasn't letting him boss me around like he owned me. I'm willing to listen to your opinion and advice, but that's it. I make all the decisions for myself. I've never needed a man to do it for me.
Well, that's about to change.
He grabbed me by the arm and pulled me against his body.
You're staying with me. End of discussion.
You don't even want me there.
I wouldn't ask if I felt otherwise.
Are you going to make me sleep outside like a dog? I hissed, since I can't stay in your bed. He glared at me, his look hotter than fiery coals.
Get your shit and you'll find out.
He finally released my arm.
I always win, Rome. Fight me all you want, but I promise you that outcome won't change. Save yourself the time and energy and just do what I say now.
Fuck you. He grabbed both of my shoulders and shoved me into the wall. He held my hands above my head and kept me in place, pinning me with his strength. I couldn't even wiggle.
I'm supposed to take care of you. Now let me.
His face was so close that his lips brushed against mine when he spoke.
I'm not asking you to stay with me out of obligation. I'm doing it because I want you under my roof where I can look after you. I want you to be in a safe place because you're the most important thing in my life. I have to protect you. If something ever happened to you, I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
He finally released my wrists.
Now pack your stuff and let's go.
Chapter 17. Calloway. I set her bags in the entryway, then grabbed her face with both of my hands. The swelling around her eyes was fierce, turning black and blue from the popped blood vessels. The guy hit her hard, slamming his knuckles right where it counted. Her bottom lip was swollen, but the bleeding finally stopped. I felt dead inside. I think we should go to the doctor tomorrow. I'll make an appointment.
Calloway, I'm fine. Nothing will help the swelling go down other than time itself. And the bruises will go away on their own, too. If I take a few painkillers, I'll be good.
It wouldn't hurt to get an exam.
I'm not going,
she said with her aggressive attitude, then picked up one of the bags from the floor.
I'm going to shower. Which bedroom is mine?
She glanced at the stairs before she turned back to me. Her eyes were glued to mine with the same fierceness she always possessed. Mine. My past and my nightmares couldn't control me forever. If I didn't move on, I would be stuck in this vortex forever. A true man needed to face his fears and conquer them. Could I call myself a man if I didn't take my own advice? Rome knew I didn't want her in there. She could read my expression because she understood it. She'd been studying it every single time we'd been together. Now she was a pro.
I'll just find a vacant one.
She walked up the stairs to the next landing until she disappeared. I watched her go without stopping her. When she was out of earshot, I went into the kitchen and whipped up food for both of us, making an easy meal of spaghetti. All I could think about was having her in my bedroom, and it gave me so much anxiety that I could barely breathe. Just the idea of having someone in the house while I was unconscious terrified me. Could I do this? She sat beside me on the couch, her arm hooked through mine. She pulled her hair into a ponytail because she just washed and moisturized her face. It was the first time I'd seen her without makeup, and I thought she looked beautiful. Her skin was just as flawless without foundation on. Sometimes there was a difference in tone above her cheek and below it, but those negligent flaws didn't mar her obvious perfection. Her eyes looked smaller, without makeup, but somehow they looked brighter. The natural intensity of her eyes made them stand out like diamonds in the dark. She felt me staring at her, so she turned my way.
Hmm?
I didn't hide my gaze. I didn't care if she knew I was staring at her. I didn't hide my actions from anyone, and if they bothered her, she could walk away. But I knew she never would. I like the way you look without makeup. She rolled her eyes like my compliment was absurd.
Yeah, okay.
I'm being serious.
The only reason why I took it off around you is because my face is screwed up anyway.
Her lip was still swollen, and her left eye would be dark for days. Every time I looked at her injuries, I felt rage bubble deep inside me. I'd find out who her assailant was, and even if he went to jail, I'd still find a way to torture him. I'd break through those bars just to strangle him for laying a hand on my girl. Having her stay with me wasn't the best option, but I knew she would be offended if I got her a new apartment. She would never take my money, no matter how much I pushed her. She had too much pride and self-respect to rely on me for anything. While it frustrated me, it was still a turn-on. Any other woman would take my gifts without blinking an eye over it, but she was too strong to accept help. Everything about her was contradictory. Even with the bruises, you're stunning. My hand rested on the back of her neck, and I massaged her gently, feeling the loose strands of soft hair that didn't make it into her ponytail. My thumb rested against her pulse, and I felt it quicken under my touch. I aroused her, excited her, even if she tried to hide it.
You're sweet, Calloway.
Honest. There's a difference. You know I'll say stuff to piss you off tomorrow. The corner of her lips rose into a smile.
I know that all too well.
She moved from my embrace and gave me a quick kiss right in the corner of my mouth.
I'm going to bed. I'll see you in the morning.
She didn't glance at me as she reached the stairs, then disappeared. The awkwardness settled on my shoulders like the weight of the world. Not having my girlfriend sleep with me while staying in my home was the weirdest thing ever, and I knew that's what she was thinking even if she didn't say it. It was strange, to say the least. With my subs, I didn't sleep with them simply because I didn't want to, and I didn't need to explain that. It was okay to be an asshole because I was the one in charge. But Rome was different. I walked to the third story, then found the bedroom she was staying in. I lightly wrapped my fingers against the door. Sweetheart.
Come in.
I cracked the door and walked inside. The guest bedroom had a private bathroom and more space than a single person could ever need. She was already lying in bed, her tiny frame looking remarkably small in the large bed. The sheets were a mixture of brown and gold, and the accompanying furniture was constructed of fine, dark wood. A TV was mounted on the wall between two windows, covered by curtains that matched the bedspread. I sat at the edge of the bed and searched her face in the darkness. Even without a single light on, I could see the brilliance of her eyes. They possessed their own light that shined outward of its own vibrancy. She sat up and rested her back against the headboard, wearing a loose t-shirt that hid all of her delectable curves from view. Her hair had been pulled from the ponytail, and now her long strands framed her shoulders. There was an obvious kink where the band had constricted her hair.
What's up?
I had no obligation to tell her a damn thing about my past. Keeping my secrets was a much easier way of life. During my time with Isabella, I didn't tell her a single thing about myself. She didn't know about my father, my mother, or the other things I'd seen in my lifetime. It was all about business with her, fucking, and fucking hard. But with Rome, I wanted to tell her. I wanted to give her more of myself than I'd given to anyone else. She'd confided her secrets to me and asked me not to pity her. I needed to do the same. My father had an unusual style of punishment. When Rome heard me speak, she stiffened slightly. Her eyes didn't blink, and she watched me with concentration. She didn't even breathe, like making a single sound would chase me away. He told me the act of punishment isn't what gets to people. It's the anticipation. Waiting and knowing what's coming is worse than the pain itself. It does crazy things to your body, makes it clench up with anxiety. Your heart palpitates, and you sweat out your entire body weight. The feeling of doom drowns you. She moved her hands to her lap and kept her eyes on me the entire time. When I did something my father didn't agree with, he told me I would be punished. But he never told me when or how. I had to use my imagination to figure it out on my own. For the first time, she blinked. She waited so long that her eyes started to water. My punishments were always served during the night. He waited until I went to sleep, and just when I was in the land of dreams, he would strike. He would yank me from the bed, hitting me with a bat or doing things I won't speak of. The punishments themselves were never the worst part. It was trying to fight sleep because I knew what was coming. It was exhausting myself by trying to stay awake that killed me. It was the suffocating feeling of wondering when he was going to get me. That was the worst part by far. Her eyes continued to water, but not because she hadn't blinked. That's why I can't sleep with anyone. If someone's lying next to me, I won't be able to sleep, and if I do fall asleep, I'll have nightmares. I need the door locked, so I know no one can get to me,
When I told you it had nothing to do with you, I meant it.
Calloway.
She reached for me and placed her hand around my wrist. I stared at her hand, momentarily feeling bliss run through my veins. It was one of the few times she touched me, and I didn't immediately think of pinning her down against the mattress and having my way with her. All I thought about were her fingertips and how soft they felt against my skin. Her hand was cold in comparison to mine, and the effect was oddly soothing. But then it disappeared just as quickly as it came. Don't feel bad for me. I looked into her eyes and gave her a command, a silent one. She had to obey me since I gave her the same respect. She closed her eyes for 30 seconds, taking my words to heart. When she opened them, her usual look of resilience had returned. She gave me that closed-off expression, hiding her thoughts.
Of course.
My request was something she understood too well, and I didn't have to fight her over it.
Thank you for telling me.
Not sure why I did. I didn't owe her anything. The two of us were spending time together and exploring each other. There was no love involved. Forever certainly wasn't involved either, but my body was constantly aching for hers, and not just the swell of her breasts or her tight pussy. I wanted to wrap my arms around her and protect her from the world. I also wanted to give her the world.
I do.
She wrapped her finger around mine, making them hook together. Her voice carried like a whisper, softer than the wind and nearly inaudible. I only heard it because I was staring at her lips.
We're the same, Calloway.
We're not the same. I was the dark, and she was the light. If she really knew me, understood the type of kinky shit I was into, she'd understand we were nothing alike. Maybe she possessed some of the same heartache. Maybe she understood true suffering. But even then, we weren't on the same level. And we never would be. When I went downstairs the following morning, it smelled like pancakes and vanilla mixed together. The scent wafted through the kitchen and all the way up the stairs, making the house smell better than it had in years. She stood at the stove and shoveled flapjacks onto a plate before she turned off the burners. I didn't want to scare her, so I chose to stare at her instead. She wore a tight black pencil skirt with a teal blouse. I loved both colors on her because they complemented the shade of her skin. It was darker than cream, but lighter than tan, and it was so soft. You could tell just by looking at it. I wondered how red it could get. She turned in my direction, probably to walk out of the kitchen and let me know breakfast was ready. She stopped in her tracks and covered her chest like she was about to have a heart attack.
Jesus Christ! You scared the shit out of me!
I loved seeing her flustered, so I continued to stare at her.
How long have you been standing there?
Long enough to check out your ass.
You check out my ass even when you know I'm looking.
I shrugged. True. She set the plate on the table.
Are you hungry?
I'm always hungry for pancakes. I wrapped my arms around her waist and kissed her. And you. The chapstick on her mouth tasted like vanilla, and I was starting to wonder if she did it on purpose. Her perfume was the same scent.
Well, I take less time to prepare than pancakes.
Saves you time. I squeezed her hips and pulled her tight against me, her tits pressed to my chest. I'd never tit-fucked her before, and it was on my bucket list, but I really needed to fuck her soon. All this touching and kissing was going straight to my dick. When she pulled away, she squeezed my arms, her favorite feature.
How'd you sleep?
I didn't dodge the question because she asked it so casually. It seemed like we were a married couple in the '50s. Okay. I made sure the door was locked twice, my nighttime ritual, before I fell asleep. A baseball bat was tucked under my bed just in case. I didn't have a gun in the house because those were more work than they were worth. I wasn't afraid of Rome down the hallway. I wasn't afraid of anyone specifically. My father had been gone for nearly 10 years, and there was no one else on the planet who could cause me any harm. But the fear was ingrained into my skin like a tattoo.